Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Mike Levin's here. 1180's WFYL's The New Day. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. And we are so excited because now it is time for our spotlight edition of the program. And joining us in studio is a very special lady, Teresa Oliver, who is Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Norristown. That's a nonprofit adult education agency. And it's providing literary services to residents of Norristown and the surrounding communities for the past 31 years. Teresa, how you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you in studio this morning. Tell us a little bit more about this this literacy council.
Yes, that can be a mouthful. Everyone knows someone who can't read. Everybody. The trick is to be able to tell that they're having difficulty with reading. What we do at the Literacy Council is, well, let me just tell you what our vision is. We want to create a community with an increased level of English literacy, and we're an organization that enthusiastically calls upon the that calls upon others to help us provide literacy improvement services without regard to race, religion, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. Now, it is our mission to empower those adults who seek to improve their reading, writing, and math skills, or who are learning English as a second language. Now, we do this through a network of local volunteers. We provide one-on-one tutoring, small group classes at little or no cost to our students.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I went to school, unfortunately, and for one reason or another, and you know, a lot of times, sometimes it has to do with issues at home. But friends of mine, when I was growing up, who basically didn't read, and they basically just were not as academically involved, I guess you could say, as maybe they should have been. But even that, sometimes a lot of that may have to do with things going on at home. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, everything from abusive homes to just dysfunctional homes. But you guys are kind of filling in the gap in adulthood, at least getting people up to speed.
Yeah, those are usually the adults that we see. We see people who, for one reason or another, just never learned to read properly, or they left school before they were able to complete high school. They come to us with a myriad of issues, and now because the GED has been upgraded and made that much more difficult, it's tougher all the way around. You know, it's just tough for everybody.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and when you start talking about GED, I'm an adjunct professor of corporate finance and economics, and so my mind immediately starts thinking about the economics of it and a report that I've seen not too long ago coming out of the employment department, and that is you know, it. One of the things the government does is that they segment based on education, based on age, based on race, based on gender, what the unemployment rate of these various categories of people are. And not to have a GED, it was astounding to see that the unemployment rate generally for the nation is hovering around 5.8, somewhere around that, sometimes 6, a little bit around 5.8. But for those, even without a GED, it was more like 38.
Yes, and climbing.
It's astounding if you do not even have a GED. You know, I mean, if you don't have a college degree, now you're in the 20% unemployment rate. But to not have a high school diploma or a GED, your unemployment rate, you're looking at roughly 38%.
Yes.
So what you're providing is, you know, I mean, that's a godsend.
Well, we think of it that way. Now, the trick for us is to get our students, our adult learners, to understand that. They have a myriad of home issues and society issues that keep them from focusing in on getting a GED. It's a tough road. It really is a tough road. And if you don't have discipline and you don't do anything outside of the tutoring sessions, you know, it takes you that much longer.
And
to
you
get
would
to.
And you would think their personal life experiences would be enough to motivate them, because if you're looking at a 38% unemployment rate and not being able to get a job, a good job, sustain a good job, have a nice home or whatever, whatever it may be that you may want, then that would be motivation enough for me to say, well, let me buckle down and do what I need to do. But it's interesting that you're that even though they're having those experiences in life, they're still challenged mentally of kind of bridging that gap to see that this is such that this is what they need.
Yeah. Well, so many of them have been defeated, beat down by it. For a lot of them,
they've got it in their heads.
Sometimes it's just easier to quit than it is to continue on. So what we do at the Literacy Council is just try to provide them with an environment where it's okay. You just come in, you do the best you can, you keep working at it until you get to where you're going. So we have to, sometimes I find myself playing, you know, administrator, mm-hmm, social worker, mm-hmm, mom, you know, that, yeah, that drill sergeant that puts their foot on, you know, just like, come on, let's get this together. So we demand a lot from our students. We demand a lot from our volunteer tutors who come to us from the surrounding community. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here this morning, is to put that out there. We are always, always in need of volunteers. You know, these people give up their time to come in and work with somebody who needs help.
Yeah.
You know, they get a lot out of it. We get a lot out of it. And hopefully the adult learners get to where they want to go, which is, you know, get that GED so they can go into job training.
Yeah.
Or they can go into secondary education. You know, they're not dumb people. Right. They're very, very smart people.
Mm.
That we just have to get their motivation and their goals realigned.
Now, you know? Teresa, how'd you become a volunteer for it?
It's a funny story.
I like that response.
Yeah. I walked in one day to the church where the office is housed. And I said, well, I want to help somebody learn to read. I've always been a nut about reading. If I can get my hands on and it grabs my attention, I'm reading. And I decided I wanted to help somebody. My kids were in high school at this point. I walked in as a volunteer in 2002, went through the tutor training workshop, got my first student. We worked together for 5 years.
Hmm.
You know, he had other issues. He had a brain injury, so, you know, we were reteaching him all kinds of things, but we were having a good old time. Then from there, I wound up, I met some international students, and I met this little Korean lady. She's a senior citizen, and she wanted to come at night for English classes, and I was like, oh, no. Norristown is not as dangerous as most people think, but for a little old Korean lady,
yeah.
I was like, no.
Yeah.
I gave up more of my time and came in the morning so that she can get her English lessons. And I started with a small group, and that small group got a little bit bigger. Oh, mind you, I'm still volunteering. The following year, I wound up getting helping someone with an ESL class, and that's where it just took off. I met people from all over the world speaking all kinds of languages, so I'm picking up a little of this and a little of that. You know, the year after that, I became a paid teacher. Assistant director, and then the year after that I became the executive director. I walked in as a volunteer. I was not looking for a job, and I wound up running the organization. I'm passionate about it. The people that you meet, our ESL students put you on a pedestal, and there's nothing like that feeling. You know, have somebody grateful for the crumb that you give them when you're helping them to learn to speak English. If you're helping their kids get situated in school, if you're bridging that gap between the teacher and the parent, trying to, you know, explain to them what's going on.
Right.
Now, I don't speak other languages. I'm still learning to speak Spanish. But they trust me. You know, they'll come and ask me questions, and they know that I'm going to be patient enough until I understand exactly what it is that they need and try to direct them in a place. You know, they're my easier group. I'm bound and determined to get these American-born English-speaking people to where they need to be and get them to understand that what we're offering here is a commodity, and you need to take advantage of it now rather than later, because we don't know when it's how long it's going to be here. We're state funded.
Well, and you know what you said, though, the office was outside, was out in the church, and
yes,
a lot of these people, they have been told, like you said, they've been beat down in other ways, whether it was because of family situations or whether it was even in just in their own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they need someone to reach out and say, hey, no, you could do this. Mm-hmm. And but to do it in love.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that the office was based out of church. I mean, yeah. because that's we talk about that here on the air all the time. You know, Jesus, mm-hmm. that being the answer. That's what this program a lot of ways is, mm-hmm. is about. You know, that Jesus is the answer to a lot of society's issues, headlines, whatever.
Yes.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these people, they need someone because it's scary.
Yeah.
To reach out. And sometimes these people, sometimes they themselves are a little scary to reach out but they have never had that before in a lot of ways, where someone reaches out in love and tries to help them rather than just say that they're just stuck in their ways and condemned and you know what, mm-hmm. we're just going to leave you because you're not worth going after, mm-hmm. you know, when they really are.
Many of the times, those are the exact messages that they get.
Yeah.
So when they come to us, it's like, okay. They need to back up a hair because they're not used to getting that kind of reaction.
Right.
You know, somebody that wants
positive affirmation.
Yeah, wants more for them than they actually want for themselves sometime. You know, we could, again, in light of, you know, having the volunteers, which we put through a 12-hour tutor training workshop, we are always in need of board members who can network with the community, who have ties to the community. I was telling you, we are state funded. We get some money from the state. We get some money from the federal government. A lot of our money comes from private foundations, which we had to apply for in the form of a grant. But we're the best kept secret in Norristown because so many people don't know that we're there. And we've been there for 31 years.
Well, we got to head to a break, but we're going to continue the conversation. Why literacy is so important in our local community.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
20th Century Fox made a motion picture entitled A Man Called Peter, about the life of U.S. Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall, who was born this day, May 27, 1902. He immigrated from Scotland, was ordained a Presbyterian minister, and became a U.S. citizen in 1938. His son is the well-known author of The Light and the Glory. During a critical moment, Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall opened a session of Congress with the prayer, God of our fathers, whose almighty hand hath preserved our nation, may it ever be understood that to the extent America honors thee, wilt thou bless America.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
In Psalm 62, King David says, truly my soul waits upon God, and from him comes my salvation. He says, God only is my rock, my security, my defense, and because of this, I can remain steadfast and confident in times of trouble. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As we look around this nation, we witness evil and persecution increasing against God's people, just what David saw. People were plotting mischief against each other, conspiring against God and trampling the truth. Rulers were lying and hypocritically flattering in public, but cursing in private. But David said, take heart. Men of such character are vanity and self-deceived, and God will reward them accordingly. In such times, David says, trust in God at all times. Pour out your heart before him, for he is our refuge. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you if you can say with David, power, authority, and blessing belong to God. My soul waits upon him. My expectation comes from him.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hello and welcome back to It's a New Day on AM 1180 WFYL here with Kathy Barnett and Michael Levine.
Yo.
And our special guest, Teresa Oliver, who is the Executive Director of Literacy Council here located in Norristown. Thank you so much for being here with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm learning so much. And one of the things that was striking me as I was just sitting back and listening, watching you and listening to you talk about how you became a volunteer is just your passion for what it is you do. And so it sounds like you're getting just as much from from working with a variety of people as they're getting from you. And what a win-win situation that is.
That's what keeps me in the job. Most days the job is not fun. But what I get from the students, my adult learners, the English language learners, that's the thing that keeps me coming back, because I want to help them. I want to see them win, you know. So I put up with a lot of stuff to have that.
You know. I know, but that's so wonderful. So what
and
is
it's
it
worth it? I'm
yes,
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, what is it that you need? What do you need from our listeners?
We need two things from our listeners. We need them to come and volunteer their time. What we do with the tutors, we put them through a 12-hour tutor training workshop, and after which we will match them up with one of our waiting students and making it as convenient as possible for them to, for the tutor and the student to meet. They always meet someplace public, either at our church where we're located or a library, something like that. Afterwards, they commit to 50 hours. Now, that sounds like a lot, but you're meeting with your student twice a week for a total of 3 hours, an hour and a half each session. So that 50 hours comes pretty quickly. We pretest and post-test the students. We provide books and materials for the tutor and the student, and all kinds of support. So after that tutor training workshop, they're off and running. You don't have to be a teacher, but we do require that you have a minimum of a bachelor's degree or better. We have some PhDs amongst our tutors, and they're fabulous.
That's one thing that you need, volunteers.
Volunteers.
And the second thing?
Is board members. We're a small organization. The funding sources are getting smaller. The competition is getting greater. So we need people who have ties to the community, a network of folks to put the word out about literacy and how important it is and how it can benefit, it will benefit the employers first, because they have an educated workforce, and then the community at large, because they're, you know, these people are now contributing to the economy.
They're doing something productive.
So
they have a stake.
Yeah, we're looking for board members. We need a treasurer.
Specifically.
Okay.
And how do they reach out and get in touch with you guys?
We're on social media. You know, we're one of these folks. We're an organization that's all over the place. We're on Facebook. We have our own website, which is www.lcnlit.org.
Say it again, please.
www.lcnlit.org. We're on Facebook as the Literacy Council of Norristown, so you just type it in and you'll find us. And we also have a Twitter account. It's LCNLIT1. So they can find us, or, you know, just come by the church. We're at First Presbyterian Church on the corner of Erie and DeKalb Street. I live there, so pretty much you can find
Hallelujah.
Me there all the time.
Well, hey, that's great, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because in this nation has a history of even using the Bible in particular to teach literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching people how to read. Mm-hmm. So how fitting is it that this is based out of a church?
Well, the original founder of the organization was one of the pastor's wives at the First Presbyterian. That's why we're housed there. She was part of the Norristown Ministerium, and they got together because at the time there was a serious homeless problem in the area, and she found out that she was a teacher before she married. And that was one of the things that she could do. So that's why she started it. We've been housed there ever since. And it's centrally located because our students can find us. You know, we've been there for 31 years. They know where we are. They know how to get to us.
And I love that story. The fact that, you know, this is what she could do. Mm-hmm. You know, these are her skill sets. Yeah. This is what she was working with. And she looked around her community and said, what can I do to help? Mm-hmm. Well, these are my skill sets. Yes. And I love the image of that and the message of that. Mm-hmm. Because so many times we're like, oh, you know, I'm waiting for my call. You know, what is my purpose, Lord? Mm-hmm. You know, looking around. Mm-hmm. And yet we have these skill sets. And then we're resigned to sitting on the couch or at our computer or just working within our home and not always doing, you know, inactive activities. We could be doing some really productive things for ourselves, for our own stake in the ground. But as Christians, we're called to look beyond ourselves and look at the world around us and say, what can I do? And we all have something to give back to someone else.
if nothing else, we tell our tutors, you don't have to be a certified teacher and worry about, you know, your particular skill set as far as the academics is concerned, because many times our students just need somebody that they can look at and say, well, if he did it, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Be a role model, somebody to listen to them and help them, you know, just let go of some of their preconceived notions about how the world functions.
Yeah, you know what this keeps on reminding me of as we're sitting here talking? David Wilkerson. He was famous for starting Teen Challenge, mm-hmm. and probably one of the most famous ministers that has ever lived in our modern time, and wrote a book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And, you know, we talk about a lot of headline issues. We've been talking a lot about, you know, Ferguson. We've been talking about Baltimore. We've been talking about a lot of those issues where the communities may even have a lot of sentiment to what it, here in Norristown mm-hmm. are going to identify even a lot with a Baltimore or Ferguson. But, you know, as Christians, mm-hmm. the difference between just sitting here and talking about all these horrible things and why are they doing this, they shouldn't be doing this, yada, and railing mm-hmm. against that, even though that may be true and we need to be able to say things like that, mm-hmm. at the same rate, though, David Wilkerson went into those communities. And that's another thing. Talk is cheap.
What
exactly.
What do you want to do?
Right. People are afraid.
Yeah.
You know, even to go into those communities. And David Wilkerson went in, and mm-hmm. I never forget when he met Freddy Cruz. I'm pretty sure I got his name right there. But basically, the man who basically became like his surrogate son. The first time he met us, said, I'm going to dice you up into little pieces. You know, basically, mm-hmm. he was a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And David Wilkerson was on the street, and he was talking to him, and he was basically open-air preaching. And he said, I hate you. I'm going to cut you up into little pieces, like with a blade. And David Wilkerson looks at him and said, and every one of those pieces would still love you.
See?
And it just broke him.
Wow.
You know, and they haven't, and these communities, you know, a lot of the things we're seeing even in a Ferguson and a Baltimore are the results of, like you said,
mm-hmm.
they've been given up on for whatever reason in their family situations,
yes.
whether it's the breakdown of the family or mm-hmm. drugs or alcohol or you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't had someone to reach out to them, and they still need people to reach out to them with the love of Christ that mm-hmm. can change lives. And we need to remember that whenever we're talking about these issues, and you guys are doing that mm-hmm. in the way of providing literacy.
Yeah. So you don't have to, people do not have to necessarily go out and engage gangbangers on the street to be diced up.
Right.
They could just come to you instead and
yes.
give back to the yes. community. So, yes. okay.
See, I do provide a bit of tough love, too. My role as social worker and mama.
Mama Teresa.
You know, just let them know, you know, everybody has an excuse. What are you prepared to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them this, and sometimes they're hearing that those words for the first time. Nobody's ever said those things to them. It's like, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep, I live in the same world you do. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit here and whine? Or are you going to sit here and take what I'm offering you as an opportunity to better your situation? Because I'm tough on the students. My tutors, I treasure because they, like I said, they're giving up their time.
And that's how they're going to change their lives and
yes.
turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great way even for you to get in there with the gospel, and I'm
mm-hmm.
sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, that website, we've got to wrap this up, but LCNLIT, that's LCNLIT.org. You can get in contact with them from there if you'd like to be involved as a volunteer, or even if you'd like to donate, I'm sure you can
Absolutely.
Go ahead and get in contact. And that is something that is needed right here in our community. The Literacy Council of Norristown with Teresa, Executive Director. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're quite welcome.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Joe Chiuro. A corruption investigation of soccer's FIFA officials. 7 arrested and 14 indicted in a U.S. investigation. Swiss prosecutors also opening criminal proceedings related to the 2018 and 2022 World Cups.
FIFA initiated this process on November 18 last year. FIFA lodged a legal complaint with the federal attorney.
FIFA's Walter D. Gregorio in Zurich. Officials allegedly received millions of bribes and kickbacks. Crews resumed the search in Texas today. About a dozen people were made missing after severe flooding.
I've been here 33 years, and I have never seen water like this.
He's in Maryland, Texas. The Blanco River has crested three times above flood stage. At least 17 people died in Texas and Oklahoma. Fox News, we report, you decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. In many ways, Memorial Day has become like so many other Monday holidays, simply an excuse for an extended weekend to relax or have fun. But like other holidays, Memorial Day does have a much deeper meaning, as we remember those who gave their lives to give us the liberty and security that we now enjoy. This Memorial Day week, I believe we would do well to not only remember those sacrifices, but to dedicate ourselves to helping make our nation all that it should be. If we are to continue to ask our best young people to risk their lives for us and our nation, let us here at home do what we can to restore righteousness and virtue. Let's stand up for the sanctity of life, for traditional marriage, and for religious liberty. Let's work to bring moral principles back to the public square. That is a worthy tribute this and every Memorial Day.
Veterans, WFYL is pleased to participate in Greater Harleysville and North Penn Senior Services Veterans Expo. Stop by our table on Wednesday, June 10th from 9 to 1 p.m. Vets, make sure you are aware of the benefits you have earned. Find out about available resources, vision screenings offered, light refreshments available. Located at Encore Experiences Harleysville Senior Center. Call 215-256-6900 for more information.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
20th Century Fox made a motion picture entitled A Man Called Peter, about the life of U.S. Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall, who was born this day, May 27, 1902. He immigrated from Scotland, was ordained a Presbyterian minister, and became a U.S. citizen in 1938. His son is the well-known author of The Light and the Glory. During a critical moment, Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall opened a session of Congress with the prayer, God of our fathers, whose almighty hand hath preserved our nation, may it ever be understood that to the extent America honors thee, wilt thou bless America.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back to It's a New Day on AM 1180 WFYL with Kathy Barnett and Michael Levin.
Yo!
So glad you are here with us. We're rounding out the last part of our time together today. So I'm so excited. I'm really encouraged. I know that we have, I mean, if you look at the world around you and you just focus on what's going on all the headlines that keep coming up, it is discouraging. I mean, it is enough for you to just close your door and stay in bed.
Yeah, but don't do that, though.
Because there's a big, big world that is waiting for your impact.
Of course, and we were just talking about a great way that you could impact your local world right here in Norristown, with the Literacy Council of Norristown. And again, their website, lcmlit.org, lcmlit.org. We've talked about Ferguson. We're going to talk about Baltimore here in just a second because, unfortunately, they made some headlines for Memorial Day. We're going to talk about that. But we could sit here and complain about it all day, as long as it is, or we could get involved and be the positive. I mean, we were just talking with Teresa about how these people, these adults now, they haven't had someone come into their life and basically say, hey, you can do this. You could become literate. You can get a job. You could get, because it's a mental thing.
It is.
It really
is.
It's
more mental than anything else. You know, I mean, if you live in an environment that says you cannot, or what you're perceiving your environment to tell you is that you cannot be, you cannot achieve, you mm-hmm. are less than mm-hmm. other. Someone else can achieve, but not you. That can be a hurdle. And yet at the same time, you know, I mean, I'm so not about being a victim. I mean, we right. are a people of victors in our culture today. I mean, whether you're looking at, you know, whether you're isolating it to just the Black community, or you're looking at the bigger picture as Americans, we are victors. We're not this victim mentality. Mm-hmm. So when I see people playing that victim card, regardless of who it is and where they're coming from, I mean, I recognize the obstacles, which can be some really mm-hmm. formidable obstacles in front of people. And yet, I love what Teresa said, what you gonna do about it?
Right.
What you gonna do about right. it? Okay. Right. Are you gonna die now? Are you gonna crawl in a yeah. hole now? What you gonna do about
yeah.
it?
Yeah, get out of that bed. Don't sit there anymore. Well, and you know, as Christians especially, though, you know, we have the reason. We have the answer to all of that, to that talk that sits there and goes, oh, I can't do this. I'm not worth it. Now, is God just there to help you get stuff whenever you want? No.
No.
He's interested in more than that. He's interested in you. You as a person. Your heart. He's interested in you. He's not interested in what you can do. And that's why, as Christians, we have the answer to this. That's in Jesus. And Jesus alone changing what these mentalities are. Because we're seeing this mentality, okay, that we were even talking about here. It has consequences. We're even seeing that a little bit here in Baltimore. Kathy, why don't we go ahead and go into this?
Yeah, I mean, 29 shot, 9 dead in a bloody Memorial Day weekend in Baltimore. Now, for the month of May, they're counting 35 violent shootings, 35 in the month of May. And just within a 3-day span of time, 29 shot, 9 dead. And what grabbed my attention, I mean, like, this is really sad. I mean, it's a very sad commentary
yeah.
that we're reading and that we're living in right now. But what really stunned me is that the people in those communities got upset that the police are not doing anything.
I'm
like, wait a minute.
I know,
this is like
right?
a catch-22. Damned if I do, hell damned if I don't. You
right.
know? I mean, it's like, what can I do?
It's amazing because, yeah, exactly, the catch-22 of, okay, well, we don't want the police involved. Well, whoa, wait a minute now. Everyone's and
I want the police involved.
Yeah, and you have to, and that's the thing.
And when you're dealing with this level of violence, 29 shot, 9 dead, the police officers cannot come in like many liberal Democrats are recommending, that we take away their guns and just give them billy clubs and flashlights. You can't walk in there into this violent situation. You're going to have to meet that violence with some aggression, and what is that going to explode?
And we've got to have people. If you're going to have people who are charged with protecting the people of this nation, they're going to have to be equipped with something, okay? Because if they're going to be our protectors, you're going to have someone. Because in our way, the military is our protectors. And the military, no one wants to make the military nicer. That's not what the military's job
is.
And
you cannot walk into this level of violence and second guess what you're going to do. You know, am I going to shoot or am I not going to shoot? Right?
Right.
Because now when we hear a police shooting, we hold our breath to see was the one who was shot Black or white. And that should not be the first thing that resonates in our mind.
Right.
You know, when we hear a police shooting, you know, okay, well, was he Black or white? You know, do I hold my breath? What's about to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot have this mayhem going on. You have this violent situation of your own people perpetrating this violence against their own people. And then you sit back and say, well, wait a minute, why isn't the police rushing in to save me and my family? I mean, it's a catch-22.
Yeah, and you can't have it both ways. And everyone knows that of what's happening in Baltimore. And honestly, I mean, my heart goes out to that city. I mean, because you're looking at a city, I cannot help but think of the protesters who are on the streets being interviewed, and a lot of people are saying, well, where are you? Because there was the famous, what was that, in Baltimore, I believe, with the Baltimore riots started, the famous mom who came out there and basically was slapping her son over the head. Yeah, exactly. And say, what are you doing? You get out. And he was one of the masked looters, I guess you could say. And you know, they were saying as far as, well, where are the men?
Yeah.
In Baltimore.
That's what I was just thinking.
Well, and a lot of the guys who are out there, younger men like Maya, just sitting there going, we didn't really have men to show us what it was like to be a man.
And that is, I mean, and again, another sad, sad commentary. In the black community, there is a fatherless epidemic. One out of two black children are growing up without a father.
And you know what? I would even say that it goes beyond the black community because divorce rate is
There's
so high.
There's a rise. I mean, when you look at the fatherless rate, I mean, it's on the increase across all communities. But in the black community, the reason why I'm isolating it is because it truly is an epidemic. When you get down to one and two, I mean, where else are you going to go?
Yeah.
One and one?
Yeah, no,
I mean, it is truly an epidemic. And unlike the other communities, we're seeing the effects of this epidemic in the black community because you have a whole generation of people out there who have no idea what it really means to be a man because there is no man in the home, right? To show them how to work a 9-to-5, bring home the bacon, give it to your wife to cook that you're providing for and taking care of because I love mommy and we came together in a union of love and not convenience or control, right?
Right, right.
You don't have 1, 2, 3, 4 mama baby daddies kind of running around, right? But you're setting up an example of this is how a man orders himself and this is what a man does for his family. But you have a whole generation of people, and we're seeing the effects of that epidemic on our streets right now, where people just running wild, acting like animals, literally.
And they just haven't had that for you know what the reason is? Sin. That's the reason.
Ultimately,
That why they've been in the situation, whether it was because of a father who just wasn't there and you know what? Here's some big perpetrators, drugs and alcohol. Okay, those are some big perpetrators as to why they may not have a dad or why their family may have just been broken apart or just you'd name it. Okay, but it comes down to that. Now, you could call in, by the way, 610-539-TALK. 610-539, that's a number to call in. Let your voice be heard this morning at 610-539-TALK.
Because we are talking about some meaty topics, and I know you guys want your voice heard, so call in.
No, And, you know, there's a lot of people who do what we're doing right now, who get on the radio, get on an AM station, and talk about the issues of the day. But you know what's different, okay, between what we're doing and what they do? Okay, there's so much, and this is because we're the genre of conservative news talk, right? I would say that we're even Christian conservative news talk. But the difference in what I see in conservative news talk right now is that there are so many people who complain out there. So many people who complain, and they don't do a dang thing. And that's what we hear so much of today. So many people say, oh, this is terrible. I can't believe of this and this happening in the community and this happening in the community. Well, what are you doing about it?
Yes.
What are you doing about it? And the
conservatives are good for talking.
Yeah, they are. I mean, we have a whole talk format based on it. Conservative news talk.
We can do some talking and it makes so much sense. There's so much logic. But then when do those words take feet?
Well, and that's what the world, I think, is waiting for. But not just from conservatives, from Christians, from the gospel. They're looking for Christians, for Jesus Christ's representatives here on earth to come out and to give that demonstration of what love is.
Right.
And to go into communities like the Literacy Council of Norristown, based out of a church. Got started by a pastor's wife teaching literacy.
Who just simply looked around her community and said, what can I do?
Right. And even here, everything we talk about, it all comes back to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is the one that could change all this around, that could take this life that we may be living and think that, where are we going to go? How are we going to get from point A to point B or get out of the place where we are? I'm not even literate. Wherever you are this morning, there is an answer. And conservative news talk does a great job of condemning, I think. It condemns. Well, not here. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's scripture. You can tank that to the bank. Kathy Barnett and Mike Levins here. 1180 WFYL to New Day. You can call in 610-539-TALK. Let your voice be heard. We'd love to hear from you this morning. We got to head to a break. We will be back. We're going to continue talking about Baltimore here in the next break. 29 shot, 9 dead.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
In Mark 10:51, it says this, "So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, that I may receive my sight.'" One thing that we should not forget about Bartimaeus is his heart was faithful. He took this incredible gift of sight that he was given, and he continued to follow our Lord. Sometimes for us it's hard to believe that we can go to the Lord and ask him for specific things. We should always ask, of course, according to his will and according to the faith in our heart.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
A cheery hello to you. This is Pastor Harvey Connor from Word of Victory Church and CVS Shopping Center in Paoli. I am personally inviting you to a special Sunday morning healing service, Sunday, May 31st at 10:30 a.m. Join us and bring everyone you know that needs healing. Come, be healed in Jesus' name. Or join us on the third Wednesday evening of every month for our 7:30 p.m. monthly healing service. Remember, our special Sunday morning healing service is May 31st at 10:30 a.m. For address and directions, go to wordofvictorychurch.org. Church is not wheelchair accessible. And may today, this very day, be the very best day of your life so far. See you in church.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Welcome back to It's a New Day on AM 1180 at WFYL. Michael and I are
we're having a lot of fun back here.
We are jamming out to this music. I mean, like, why do you just got to bang your head? I'm not even a headbanger, but it just makes me want to do it.
Yeah.
But yes, you're here with Kathy Barnett and Michael Levin.
Yo.
So, I mean, you know, this is not something, having you listening in is not something we take for granted. And we're very appreciative and just so excited for this opportunity just to be able to share truth. Yeah, you know, when we were coming out of the other side of the break, I was having like a hallelujah moment, kind of getting emotional as Michael was talking about, you know, as we were talking about, you know, the role of the father in the home and what we're seeing being played out in our community and the role of the Christian, the role of conservative, always talking, but what are we doing kind of thing. And I was got silent for a minute and Michael was like, what's going on? And I'm you know, and it's something that I talk about often in a variety of areas of my life, but I grew up in a fatherless home. And I didn't, and Michael didn't know that until I shared it during the break, but I grew up in a fatherless home, and I still bear some of the scars of not having a father in the home. Yeah. It is, you know, because when you think about what is the role of the father? What does he do? Well, he brings identity, right? He gives me my last name. He tells me that I'm valuable. He says, you know, you're perfect and I love you.
Yeah.
You know, or he shows that little boy, you know, you're special, you're a man. Let me show you how to fix that, or let me throw a ball with you. You know, let me just spend time with you, right? And then when you don't have that, then you grow up kind of looking around trying to figure out, well, who am I?
Yeah.
Am I valuable? If the man, the one man in my life that should have valued me and esteemed me, just walks out the door and pays me no attention whatsoever. I mean, like, what kind of message is that? And so when I bring up the statistic of 1 in 2 black children growing up in a fatherless home, for me, it's a personal comment. It's not just an economic discussion on the statistics of what's going on in the black community. When I look at Ferguson, when I look at this whole Black Lives Matter movement, which is just foolishness because all lives matter, right?
Yeah, of course.
When you're looking at it, I mean, I cannot help but to be personally invested in what's going on, because I do know the horrors. It's exhausting. I would watch my mom. I mean, she's a strong woman, but at the same time, she was an exhausted woman. She was an exasperated woman, you know, trying to figure out how to make ends meet with these children. And my father, my brother and my father just gone, you know, nowhere to be found. And, you know, by the grace of God. So I do recognize that there are some formidable obstacles when you start out of the womb, you have no father, right? So I recognize the formidable situation that many people find themselves in. But I love, that's why I latched on to what Teresa, the executive director of the Literacy Council, who was in here, I latched on to what she said. Okay, well, what you gonna do about it? Because what are you gonna do about it, right? And at the age of 19, God just came into my life like a wrecking ball, and gave me. And it was from the age of 19 to today of picking up this new identity, recognizing that, oh, I do have value, you know.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I faked it until I made it, of believing that I'm valuable. There was a long period of my time when I did not believe I was valuable, because if the person who should just automatically be there and tell you that you're valuable looks at you and says you're not, then what is the image that you're picking up of yourself?
Yeah, and that's faith. Faith in action, you know, putting that, believing what God says, even though you don't feel it, you know, even though, and you know, when we
are even though your situation is telling you you're not valuable.
Right. Yeah. Even though your situation is telling you you're not valuable, you're garbage, even, you know, God still says in his word, you are the most valued thing to me in all of existence. And that's why Jesus came and died. You know, and Kathy, you know, thank you for sharing that you were from a father's home, because you know what? It's a really deep part of what's happened to you in just your life. And it's a deep part of what's happened to a lot of people who are listening, even, of what's happened to their life. They're in a fatherless home. And we're seeing the fruits of what that does in our society when we talk about different events that are happening in our major cities. But you know better than most what that feels like. Thank you for sharing that this morning and allowing others who are in the same spot to be able to feel that with you too. I know it's hard to talk about, you know, but this is what's happening. You know, with a lot of people.
It's real, you know, and to your earlier point, as conservative, we boy, we can talk. We can talk a good game. Yeah. We can lay out the logic. Even in the Christian community, we know the truth, so we can spit out the truth.
Right.
But that's why I'm so passionate and so excited about my life and so excited about encouraging other people, because what are we going to do about it? Yes, these are the facts. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what? What you going to do about it?
Right. And just so you know, as a listener, the emotional impact that this has on people, there are some tears in this studio today. Okay, and I know that those tears are not the only tears that have ever been shed because of something like this, because of a family not being complete, whether it's because of a father not being there or otherwise. And we're talking a lot about the consequences and the fruits of that, but that doesn't mean that this is not an incredible and a defining moment in someone's life when something like that happens. So there are not completely dry eyes in the studio today, just as you know, as a listener. So, Kathy, thank you very much for sharing that.
Yes, and the moral of it all, I can tell you, it was Jesus made a radical difference surrendering to him. So that's the moral.
Well, Kathy, I got something that's going to cheer you up. You haven't done a facepalm with us
yet,
have you? We're going to close out our show with this. Here we go. All right, you ready? Are you ready for facepalm? I'm ready for it today. Are you ready for it? It's time for facepalm. All right, so here we... You're doing the... Kathy's doing the disco here in the studio today. All right, so this one comes from metro.co.uk. I love this website. Here's the headline. Naked man accidentally gets stuck on the end of 100-foot drawbridge and gets very burnt. Why? Because it was in Florida. And when you're buck stark naked in the Florida sun, you're going to not get out of that without some sunburn. Oh, he was there... And not familiar, apparently. I like how this article is worded. It is unsurprising that when police finally got to this man, he was a little bit rouge, as the article says. And once you're up there, apparently, according to a fire department official, I would imagine you realize that you don't want to be up there anymore. There's no place to go. There's no way to climb down. And he apparently was taken to the hospital and was treated for burns to the buttocks.
And what's interesting about this article is that the headline said he was accidentally naked and stuck. I mean, how are you accidentally naked and stuck on a 100-foot drawbridge? I don't understand. That is so trippy. What happened?
I love how you say naked. He's accidentally naked. He's accidentally naked and stuck on the foot of a drawbridge.
I don't get it.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't get it. Truly a facepalm moment.
True,
thank you.
True entertainment here. Laura Ingram's coming up next, but it's been wonderful being with you guys, with Kathy Barnett and Mike Levins here saying, have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Or I'll see you tomorrow. And you're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Coming up on the next Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
Kids shut down when they don't feel like someone's listening to them. They shut down when they feel like someone doesn't care. And it puts parents in a real predicament, because we think that it's the kids that are doing that. But I really believe this is where we are provoking them at times.
Just a sample of what you'll hear when you join us for Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.